Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Under the theme of rejoice and weakness, the text for today is from 2 Corinthians 12, picking up in verse 7. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, most employees at one time or another have to go through what is sometimes called a performance review. Some of you have done that perhaps many times. We do it in the business world. We do it in churches as the elders work with the pastor and other staff members. And a part of the review may include questions like, what have you accomplished over the last 12 months? What are some of the highlights of the past 12 months? And the question, what are your goals for the coming year? Now, many of us may dread reviews. We sweat over them. And what we dread the most is the part where, in addition to those questions, our supervisor asks us to list our strengths and our weaknesses. Now, strengths are relatively easy. One can always write down something like, I'm a hard worker, I'm a team player, I'm conscientious, I'm reliable. And who could argue with those? They're general, aren't they? But what about weaknesses? For whatever we write, we're admitting that we aren't up to par, that we don't measure up, that we are, after all, weak. And no one wants to think of themselves as weak. In our culture, weakness is bad and strength is good. The physically strong excel in athletic competitions. The mentally strong excel in academics. And having this past week celebrated the 4th of July, we celebrated our nation, didn't we? We celebrated the freedoms that we enjoy and the military that protects those freedoms, a military that is the greatest and the strongest in the world. For after all, who would shoot off fireworks because they live in an inferior nation? Yes, strength is good, weakness is bad, and everyone knows that. And as a result, we're taught to cover up anything that can be interpreted as a sign of weakness. For example, a father may say to his son who has burst into tears, big boys don't cry. And the reason is, in our culture, crying too often means weakness. It shows we're too fragile, too emotional, too vulnerable. Signs of weakness, we are taught, are to be avoided at all costs. But interestingly enough, in our reading this morning from 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul tells us that he can boast in weakness because weakness allows the believer to see the power of Christ at work in and through his people. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul was a man who could be proud of all that he accomplished. An annual review, no problem. He was intelligent, had a way with words. He had preached to thousands. He was, in his day, bigger than Billy Graham and a dozen other preachers combined. And then we know that he was given a revelation on the road to Damascus where he had seen the risen Christ with his own eyes. And in the early verses of this chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he speaks of another revelation he had, a revelation of being taken up into heaven to see its wonders. And think of how that will look on his resume. Paul, a man given access to the glories of heaven. But instead of boasting about how great an evangelist he was, Paul tells us he rejoices instead in his weakness. And he points an example, a shortcoming, an ailment, a failure of some kind that he's unable to do anything about. He calls it a thorn in his flesh. I'm guessing most of us have had a splinter at one time under our skin. The thing about splinters is they can be annoying, they can be bothersome, they can be distracting. And if you don't do something about them, they can become infected. And usually you need a needle and a tweezers to remove them. But I don't think Paul is talking about a splinter that's stuck in his finger. Instead, we get the idea that it's a whole lot more serious than that. And down through the years, down through the centuries, people have speculated about what that thorn really was. Was it opposition to his message and ministry? Was it some temptation to which he is particularly susceptible? Was it a physical problem, such as poor eyesight or stuttering? We don't know. But suffice it to say, it was some problem that stuck with him. It was like a thorn, a splinter that festers, that stings, that cries out to be removed, and yet is not. But we do know that Paul considered it a serious impediment, perhaps even to his ministry. Serious enough, in fact, it says he prayed 3 times that God remove it. The concept there is that it was a prolonged prayer concern for Paul. Yes, he was anxious about this thorn in the flesh. It was, he felt, a distraction that he'd be better off without. You know, if God would just get rid of it, I can be so much more successful in my ministry. But God saw it differently. You see, God knows that if nothing were ever wrong in our lives, that we'd begin to forget that we need him. That if you never faced any struggles in your life, you begin to think that you can make it on your own. Because after all, if you don't have any problems in your life, you don't need a problem solver. Now, there is, of course, one problem, one thorn in the flesh that on our own we can never do anything about. It's sin. And sin is embedded in us. And no amount of digging with a needle and tweezers will remove it. No amount of self-discipline, of trying harder, is going to eliminate it. We're stuck with it because of who, what, and where we are. That we're weak, sinful people living in a fallen world, led astray continually by the Lord of lies. For you see, sin is the ultimate sign of weakness. We strive to hold it down, but we never quite can master it. Those same thorns, don't they seem to come back again and again and again? And our sinful pride thinks that, well, we can do better on our own. Think in your own life. What are some of those sins that you've tried to overcome but only fail over and over again? Those times when it's two steps forward and three steps back. Lust, laziness, lack of spiritual energy. And even though God is intolerant of these weaknesses, these failures, and the consequence remain, and sin are eternal. And still, on our own, there's utterly nothing we can do to stop it. There was a man who blasted Christians for being hypocritical. And this is what he said. He said, "You Christians say one thing and then do exactly the opposite. You condemn violence. You say that one should turn the other cheek. But then you blow up in anger when someone does something to you. You turn a blind eye to those in need, even though you have plenty. And your language is just as filthy as anyone else's. You hold Jesus up as a great example, but then you fail to follow his example yourselves. You Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites." And you know he's absolutely right. As Christians, we know what we should do, how we should act, how we should speak. And then we just turn around and utterly fail to do what Christ calls us to do. The reason is we're weak. With Paul, we admit, "I know that nothing good dwells in me than in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." Each of us is plagued by that thorn in the flesh called sin, and we ourselves, no matter how hard we try, cannot remove it. Our gracious and loving God didn't leave us to face this thorn of flesh on our own. In his mercy, he sent his Son, who put on our human form to take payment for our sin. God is, of course, eternal, invincible, and immortal. Death, we know, can't touch him. But when he chose to humble himself and became man, he made himself vulnerable. Jesus, born of a woman, became mortal. And that meant he became weak. Weak enough, in fact, to die. His first letter to the Corinthians, Paul tells us that the world in his day saw the cross as the ultimate sign of weakness. The usual response to the gospel by the non-believers was this: "How can all-powerful God of the universe be nailed to a cross and die? That's foolishness." But Paul responds that even in this weakness, God is stronger than man's strength. That by humbling himself to death and death on a cross, Jesus accomplished what no person can do. He paid for all of our sins. That thorn on his head and the spikes that held him to the cross won our salvation. By becoming weak, Jesus conquered Satan once and for all. And on Easter, he showed his strength by defeating death once and for all. And now through faith, Christ's power rests on us. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be servants of Christ. We share his love, imperfectly, even hypocritically, to be sure. However, using the strength Paul gives us, despite of our weakness, Paul says, "For I am weak, then I am strong." It's Christ who can turn our weaknesses into strength, who uses our faults to help us see that we can never win the crown of righteousness by our own ability, so we must rely on Christ and him alone. And with this truth made clearly evident in us and through us, we use his power to seek, to share, and to serve. You know, one day, unless Christ returns soon, We're going to each face the ultimate sign of the weakness of our humanity. Death will come knocking. And while our culture sees death as weakness, for us it takes on new meaning in the shadow of the cross and the open tomb. The cross and the grave, signs of weakness to the world, are signs of power for our lives. So to remember the power over death that God promises you, I would ask you to picture this. As your friends and your family lower your weak body into the earth, consider what new meaning these words of Paul will then have. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.